Hallelujah, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that we are loved by you. That we are loved by you, Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father, that we are loved by you, Lord. That we are loved by you, Jesus. Oh, we just praise you and we thank you for that, Lord. Why you should look down, oh God. Lord, why you should look down on us, Lord Jesus, and love us so dearly, Father. I don't know why, but I thank you for it, Lord. I receive your great love, Jesus. I receive it. We just praise you for it. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, you are mighty in your ways, and you are good. You're a good, good Father. And Lord, we just praise your holy name. We lift your name up above all names. And we just thank you, Father, for your love over our lives, Father, for your purposes and your plans over our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we're not just living a life without you or alone or in the dark, Father, but we thank you, Lord, that your word is a light unto our path. We thank you, Father, that your ear is not deaf, that you hear us, oh God. We thank you, Father, that your arm is not short, Lord Jesus, but that you reach down and you touch us, oh God, that you move, Lord, when you hear us call out to you. The word says, Father, that the answer is on the way before we even ask it of you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Father, that we're not just born and it's over, but Lord, that you have a purpose over our lives, oh God. You have a purpose and a calling, oh God. Oh, you have a reason, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you for your great love. I just thank you for your purpose. Oh, Father, I thank you for your plans, oh God. I thank you, Father, for your presence and your spirit in this place tonight, oh God. Lord, have your way over the word, Lord Jesus. Have your way over this time. Lord, speak to the hearts of your people, Father. Lord, stir their spirits, oh God, with your presence. Stir them up, oh God. Stir inside them, Lord. Your word says that where your spirit is, there is freedom. And Lord, we know that your word also says that we are your dwelling place. We are the tabernacle. We are the temple where your spirit dwells. And we praise you for that, and we thank you for that, Father. And we just glorify in your name. Stir our hearts tonight, Lord Jesus. Stir in us tonight, Father, for your glory and for your purposes, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you, Father, for your presence. Oh, we just give you glory tonight, Father. We just give you glory, Father. Oh, praise your name. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I love that song where you're singing about his love never gives up and it never runs out on me. I think sometimes I'm a real test and a real trial to the Lord, but I just thank him that his love never runs out on me. I can't use it up. I can't use up all my chances. I can't use up all my options. Praise the Lord, because his love never runs out on me. Praise the Lord. That is a good, good thing. Hallelujah. Woo, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I can just keep going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 23, please. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 23, verse 11. The word says, but the following night, the Lord stood beside him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. Wow, praise the Lord. That's a commission right there. The Lord was giving Paul a commission, giving him a job to do, setting it down before him, what his next step was, what he had to do. But I want to give a little background here before we go forward. First of all, Paul is in Jerusalem when the Lord comes to him. In Jerusalem, he was rejected. Anybody felt that? Rejected. He was attacked and beat up. Anybody been down that road? Ran out of the synagogue. Oh, and they tried to kill him also. Isn't that exciting? That was Jerusalem for Paul. Woohoo! Okay, so now God is telling him Now God is telling him, oh, Paul, what you've done for me here in Jerusalem, I need you to go do it in Rome. You get to do it all over again. Woohoo! I'd be like, can't wait to do that, Lord. Right? Because here he is testifying of the Lord's greatness. God is using him greatly. He is ministering to the people who are following Christ and to the churches and witnessing to those who aren't. And he's beat up. He's taken captive. He's imprisoned. They try to kill him. Boy, that's just the recipe that would make me want to go somewhere and do it all over again, right? I don't think so. I'd be like, Lord, I think once was good enough. Thank you. I'm still alive by your grace, but I think this is where we need to end it, Lord. I think I need to go somewhere quiet where there's nobody around because clearly they're not receiving the message. That would have been me right there. Lord, nope, I'm done. We're good. We're good, Lord. Jerusalem was a ball. Woo, it was a hit. Woo, we were good in Jerusalem, Lord, but I think I'm going to pass on Rome. Paul knows that God is sending him to Rome with a purpose, to bear witness and to testify of Jesus Christ and his power and what he has done for us. Paul's been through it all, and now he gets to go to Rome and do it all again. It's like, yay, Rome. Oh, and he gets to go there in chains, too. He didn't arrive in Jerusalem in chains, but he gets to leave Jerusalem in chains. You know that part where the Lord said, be of good cheer. That struck me when I read that. And I thought, really, Lord? I mean, really? Be of good cheer? So I looked it up in the Greek dictionary. And the word in the Greek dictionary is tharseo, if it's pronounced in Spanish. And it has three meanings. The first one is to be cheery, to be of good cheer. The second meaning is to be of good courage, meaning full of courage, full of cheer, full of courage. And the third meaning is to be filled with peace. So basically the Lord was saying, hey, Paul, be cheerful, be courageous, and be filled with peace. Knowing what he was headed into. Now, you know what's so beautiful about this is, this is what the Lord is saying to you also. Be cheerful. Be filled with courage. Be brave. And be filled with his peace. Wow. No matter what comes. No matter what comes, the Lord is saying, no matter what comes, rejoice and be filled with my peace. And he said in that verse, let's see. Let me go back to that verse. And bear witness at Rome. So while you're going there and while, you know, the things are happening there, be cheerful, be courageous, and be peaceful. And so the Lord was saying, you know what's coming, Paul. You know what's coming. But I'm going to be there with you. I've got a purpose and I've got a plan for you. And you just have to, you know, be cheerful and be courageous and be at peace and be ready. Well, that's kind of how we're supposed to live too, isn't it? No matter what comes, no matter what we're facing, we're supposed to be cheerful. Woo-hoo! We're supposed to be courageous. I can do this. And we're supposed to be filled with peace. Woo, yeah, I got this. God's got me. We've got this. We're good. That is not how I'd have gone to Rome. I'm just saying, I'd have probably been kicking and screaming a little bit along that road. Hallelujah. But the word says, you know, and of course Paul wrote it because Paul lived it, right? In Philippians 4:4, the word says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, if anybody had a right to say that, I suppose it would be Paul, that had been through everything, right? He'd gone the full spectrum. You know, he started out persecuting the Christians, imprisoning the Christians, watching merrily and giddily while the Christians died for what he thought was justice and righteousness. So now here Paul is, after having had a revelation and an experience with Jesus that rocked his world and changed his life. Now here he is, the one being persecuted, the one being attacked, the one they're trying to kill. And the Lord is saying, be of good cheer, Paul. And here Paul is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, to understand that verse a little better, if we go back to chapter 3. In chapter 3, Paul was speaking to the people about not living in the old mindset. You know, he was a Pharisee born of Pharisees. And in chapter 3, he's telling us, you know, if anybody had a right to brag or had a right to be loftier than anybody else, I do. I am a Pharisee born of a Pharisee. I am a Hebrew. I am a Jew. I have it all. But that is for no gain. It gained me nothing. You know, who we are, what we were before Jesus Christ, it gains us nothing. What counts is the moment we come to Him and what we do with our life from that moment forward. Hallelujah. And Paul did a complete turnabout. He was who he was, and then he became a new creation through his experience with Christ Jesus. We too are new creations, but we have to learn how to live the life of a new creation, because it's so easy to live in the old pattern, the old person, the old man. It's so easy to let our tempers rise. It's so easy to let our feelings get hurt. It's so easy to rely on our own strength instead of God's. It's so easy to be who we were. But that isn't who we are. And so we can't be who we were once we come to Jesus, because we're not that person anymore. We have given up ourselves. The word says that when we are baptized, that is symbolic of dying in our sins with Christ Jesus and coming out of the grave with Christ Jesus, a new man. Oh, hallelujah. But living that new man life, it's not always an easy thing. Hallelujah. And so he was talking to him in chapter 3 about the need to forget what was and press on to what is. To press into the Lord and what he has for you now. Not what yesterday was or who you were, but today, what the Lord has for you now. And he was talking about the need to be mature. To be a mature Christian, to be mature in our actions, to be mature in our thoughts, to be mature in our speech, hallelujah. And we're to do all of that being of good cheer, hallelujah. In John chapter 16, verse 33, the word says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. There it is again. I have overcome the world. This world, just like Paul was learning, like Paul had faced, his ministry was full of tribulation, full of attack. But the Lord said, be of good cheer. And here it is again. Jesus is saying it. Jesus is saying, there is tribulation in this world. We are going to face tribulation. And possibly like we've never faced tribulation in our lives prior to this moment. The world is quickly, quickly changing. The world is not the same today as it was 2 years ago or as it was 3 years ago. The world today is a different place. And it's full of tribulation. It's full of more tribulation than maybe what we've experienced to this point. But we are to be of good cheer, knowing that Jesus overcame the tribulation of the world.
He faced it. He faced trials. He faced rejection. He faced hardship. He faced persecution. He faced being made fun of. He faced being rejected. And he overcame all of that through the Spirit so that we could see how to live. So that we would understand the power that we have to overcome the very same things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. So this was the commission. This is the great commission. We have a commission from the Lord, the same as Paul has a commission from the Lord. The great commission that's given to us is in Acts chapter 23, verse 11. Oh, sorry, I start at verse 18. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.' Therefore," and when he says therefore, he's kind of telling you, so right now it's going to be yours. "Therefore, you take what I'm giving you and go out into the world." Hallelujah. "Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." That is a great commission that we've been given. This is not just for pastors. This isn't for just the apostles. Well, we're all for the apostles, not just for a particular teacher or preacher or minister. This is everyone's commission. And then in Luke, this one is so awesome. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18, it says, "And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.'" Oh, hallelujah. We have been given all of this power. We have been given his power. His power has been placed in your hands to fulfill your commission. He didn't send us out without power. He didn't send us out alone. He sent us out in his authority and in his power with him to do the commission, to do what we've been called to do. And know and given all authority over the enemy. You and I have all authority over the enemy. But I think sometimes we're not using that authority because the enemy is just trampling all over us. What's going on? If I have authority, why is the enemy coming at me? Well, because we're not using it yet. The word says, stand and resist the enemy and he will flee from you. As long as we are resisting him, he has to flee. He can't stay. There's nothing he can do. But when we cease to resist, well, he sweeps right in. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this is our great commission. Just like Paul was given a great commission, and he was given the same commission, given the authority, the same authority. And Paul went forward to accomplish what God had purposed him to accomplish. Each one of us has a purpose. Each one of us has a purpose to accomplish. Each one of us has something to accomplish for the kingdom of heaven. Woo, to accomplish for the Lord. But we have to be listening. We have to be prepared. And we have to be out there witnessing. Because it's all hinged on witnessing. It's all hinged on sharing Jesus. We have to share Jesus. Hallelujah. Just like Paul was sharing Jesus in Acts chapter 28. Now, Paul was a prisoner. He'd lived through rejections. He'd lived through beatings. He'd lived through murder plots. Now he had lived through a great storm and being shipwrecked on his way to Rome. And even on the shipwreck, the centurion wanted to kill Paul to get rid of him. But the Lord saved his life. And now here he is. They're finally on an island. They're finally safe. And they're laying a fire and going to sit around that fire, maybe warm up and maybe make something to eat. And the word says, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened onto his hand. I want to just stop there for a second. The likelihood of if that had happened to me, I'd have been jumping up and down screaming. Really screaming, like, type screaming at the top of my lungs. And I'd have been shaking my arm. I probably never shook it right off into the fire because I'd have been running everywhere like a chicken with its head cut off. But Paul simply shook it off and it was done. That is how the Lord wants us to react to tribulation. He wants us to just shake it off. He doesn't want us to jump up and run around and screaming, what will I do? What will I do? Was it poisonous? Oh, what am I going to do? He wants us to just shake it off, rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and move right on and keep doing what we have to do. Because Paul had a mission. He was commissioned by Jesus Christ, and he had a mission to fulfill. And even though the enemy kept coming in and trying to keep him from fulfilling his mission, Jesus was with him, and he overcame every trial that came at him, even on to a snake bite. Now, remember when I was getting ready, when we were coming up here from Mexico to move back up here, I was bit by a black widow, a male black widow spider. You know what? I didn't scream and holler because I never saw the spider. You know, I felt the prick. I'm like, what was that? And I looked down at my foot thinking, oh, I got a big old skeeter bite. That one was big. I didn't see anything. So I didn't run and scream and holler like I would have if I'd have seen the spider. Because me and spiders, I don't like them. So you know what? That spider didn't affect me one iota. I just went to bed, you know, got up the next day, and it was just swollen up about the size maybe of the end of my thumb. I thought, that looks funny. Wonder what that is. It had kind of like these funny little white line. It looked like somebody had run a thread, a white thread, through the middle of it. And I thought, wow, that looks kind of strange. I wonder what that is. So I think I need to pray about this one. I'm thinking, that's like a spider bite. Lord, a spider bit me. Really? Lord, I've got COVID. I'm packing to move, and now a spider bites me. I'm like, no way in the name of Jesus. I rebuke this. I'm not receiving this. I'm not having it. It's done. Yeah, it's over. Sometimes we get it. We nail it right on the head. Sometimes our faith and our authority joins together in the perfect moment, and it's done. COVID did not bring me low. The spider bite did not bring me low. Shingles that followed the spider bite did not bring me low. God was with me in that moment, and I somehow applied the faith and the authority perfectly, and the answer was done. The need was met. It was as if I shook it off into the fire. And we just kept plugging away. We just kept going every day. We kept going every day. And God was with us. God took care of us. So here's Paul, and he just shakes that thing off into the fire. But he's sitting around the fire with natives, and it says, and so when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. Have you ever met people like that? Job had friends like that. Have you ever met people? Oh, cancer. Oh, yeah, you must have done something really bad to get cancer. Yeah. Oh, sister so-and-so, she's got cancer. Let's stay away from her. Or maybe she's got COVID. Ooh, we better stay back. She must have really made God mad. That must have been a low point in her life. Don't we do that? Things come. Jesus said tribulation happens. It doesn't mean that Paul was not where he should be or that he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. It means tribulation comes. It means the enemy attacks. And you know what? When we hear those attacks, when we feel those attacks, when we're receiving those attacks, we need to shake it off. When the insults come, shake it off. When the attack comes, shake it off. When the biting and the backbiting comes, shake it off. We need to learn to be mature and shake things off. We're not baby Christians anymore. We need to grow up, put on our big girl chonies, our big boy chonies, and be mature and walk mature, speak mature, live like mature Christians, mature disciples of Jesus Christ. Because we're not just people. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are witnesses of Jesus Christ, created with a purpose for His kingdom and for His glory. Hallelujah. And that should excite us. That should make us so excited to know that He has purpose in everything we go through. He is with us in it, and there is purpose on the other side. So He shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that He would swell up and suddenly fall dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to Him, they changed their minds and said that He was a god. And in that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father-in-law of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went to him and prayed, laid his hands on him, and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if that snake hadn't have reached out and bit Paul, they'd have never known the power of God. They weren't on the ship. They didn't know that the only reason their lives were saved was because Paul was on that ship and God spared them all as a testimony to Rome and to those on the ship of God's great power. So they saw the witness of who Paul was and who Jesus was through Paul on the ship. But on the island, the islanders, they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know who Paul was. So when they see this snake bite him and he is not brought low, he is not killed by this tribulation, woo, they know something is powerful in that man. They know something is going on. So they brought all the sick to Paul, and he healed all the sick. Hallelujah. You and I are called to heal all the sick. We are called to lay hands on the sick that they might receive healing. We are called to be witnesses and testify of the glory of God through our lives. And it's time. Oh, never has it been a more important time for the body of Christ to rise up in His authority and in His power and live for Him and show Him to the world. Never has the world looked darker than right now. Never has tribulations come as they are coming right now. Woo, we were called for such a time as this, people. We were called for this moment in history for the children of God, the disciples of Christ Jesus, to rise up and let His glory be revealed in our lives through the middle of the tribulations. We are to be of good cheer because He walked it already. And He's with us right now. Come what comes, He is with us. Persecution, beatings, hate, whatever it is that is coming at us, He is with us in it. And if you will stand fast, if you will shake it off, the glory of the Lord will be seen and your testimony of who Jesus Christ is will be heard. Hallelujah. In John 10:10, the word says, the thief does not come except only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Hallelujah. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Are you living in the abundance of Jesus Christ? Because if you're not, it's easy to reach out to Him. It's easy to call upon Him. Are you living in His abundance in your finances? Are you living in His abundance in your health? Are you living in His abundance in your peace and in your joy and your good cheer? Hallelujah. Because He's there with us, and He wants His abundance to overflow through our lives onto others. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. The enemy wants to rob us in our relationships, first with God and then with others. He wants to rob us of our families, and he wants to rob our finances. He wants to rob our health and our strength. He wants to rob your motivation. He wants to rob your vision, and he wants to rob your voice. He wants to kill your hopes and your ability to love. He wants to kill your faith and your growth and your maturity. He wants to destroy your calling and your ministry. He wants to destroy your family, your life, your credibility as a witness of Jesus. But we don't have to allow him to. Remember your commission. You have all authority. Say with me, all authority. Oh, you guys aren't very convincing. I know that we're a very small group tonight, but all authority. That's not a little bit. It's not half. It's not a good measure. It's all authority. All the authority that was given to Jesus Christ, he has given to you and me. And I don't know about you, but that makes me excited. Woo! I get excited when I think about what he has given to us, what he has done for us. We don't have to live powerless in any situation, in any trial or tribulation. We are not powerless. We are the powerful. Hallelujah. We are full of the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. We simply have to wield it. Oh, hallelujah. We simply have to use what has been given to us. And Paul is a wonderful example of using that authority. Paul is a wonderful example of using that power. He was so different before his encounter with Christ Jesus. He was a persecutor of the body of Christ. He was a murderer. He was a Pharisee. And then through one encounter with Jesus, his whole life changed. We're not talking a small change. We're talking a huge change. The change was so powerful, and the change was so great that people were talking about it. Is this Paul? Are you sure this is who he is? Do you know what this man did? Do you know what he used to do? Have you ever had that said about you? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's just Janine. Yeah, wow. But we're not just Janine or just Myrna or just Marty. Hallelujah. We're not anymore. We're not. We are filled with the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And he didn't just fill us with that power. He commissioned us to that power. He commissioned us to walk in that authority and walk in that power, Judy. He commissioned us to walk in those things and to trample on the head of the enemy, that no authority of the enemy could come against you. We have the ability, the authority, and the power to rise up and fight back. I think it's been so easy to just, it'll be okay. And just kind of lay down with it instead of shake it off. We need to shake it off, not get in bed with it. We need to shake it off and not accept it. We need to shake it off and not dwell in it. We need to shake it off and move forward. Hallelujah. And not allow all the trials and the tribulations of this world to overcome us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In we read Luke 10:18-20, and it says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." The second that snake latched onto Paul's hand, he had no idea what was coming forth. The enemy struck. Paul shook it off, and a whole village saw the power of Jesus. All the sick in the village were healed. How many of you have ever been healed by the Lord? It's life-changing for me. When God healed me, it changed my life. It rocked my world. I will never forget when he healed me. And he hasn't just healed me once. He has healed me so many times and given me strength. You know, when that spider bit me and I had COVID and then I got shingles from the COVID and the spider bite. It was like this bomb went off in my body and I never felt it. The doctor said, "Oh, you got to take this medicine. You got to take that. You got to take that." And I'm like, "I don't have any symptoms." They're, "Oh no, you gotta take this. Those shingles, they're gonna hurt. And that spider bite, that's gonna start hurting real bad. That's real ugly. And well, COVID, you know, that's gonna get bad. Okay, I'll take your medicine, but nothing's gonna happen to me. I have no symptoms. I have no pain. This isn't gonna happen because I've got a commission. The Lord had commissioned me to get back to Washington and he had given me a time frame. You know, I set a time frame that I liked, a time frame with more time in it. But then the Lord spoke and he said, "No, you have to leave sooner. You need to be ready sooner." I'm like, "Lord, I can't go sooner. Have you seen my house? How am I supposed to do this sooner?" And the Lord said, "You need to go sooner." So I prayed and I talked to my mom and my dad and my husband. I'm like, "Oh, can we go sooner? We got to go sooner. I don't know why, but God says we got to go sooner. We got to go sooner. Do you think we can move this up 2 weeks?" And my mom's like, "2 weeks?" Well, I was like that the first time God said sooner. I'm like, "Sooner? Have you seen my house?" But I was convinced. The Lord convinced me. So I went to my mom. "Mom, we got to go sooner." And finally she said, "Well, you're the one driving, so I'll go when you go." I'm like, "Good answer, Mom." So we kept packing and we kept getting ready and we kept praying and we kept trusting and we kept believing God it was going to get done. We had a commission. I had a commission. We had a commission and it was to get back to Washington. Do you know the very day we left, the next day, record heats hit in Tijuana that would have hospitalized my dad. He would not have made him through those kind of heat. We made it out one day early and had him in an air-conditioned hotel and in an air-conditioned car. And we left Tijuana while the fires through California were raging. And as we're headed down the freeway, we're still just heading out of San Diego that morning, and I get a phone call from Scott saying, "Hey, listen, there are fires raging. You're going to drive right through the fires. So roll your windows up, keep your air conditioning on, switch it so the vent isn't blowing into the car from the outside, and stop and use your inhaler if you need it." Okay, and then I get a phone call from my daughter-in-law. "Traffic is backed up for this many miles from this point to this point. You won't make it through tonight. You're going to have to get off the freeway and get to a hotel, but do it fast because everybody's going to have to do that. People are stuck in their cars on the road." You know what we did in our car? We prayed. We are not getting stopped. We have a commission. We have a purpose. We have a deadline. We got to get out of here. We got to go. And, you know, we missed that backed up traffic by an hour. We made it just through. And then there was a fire in front of us. And we made it just by an hour. As we passed through, we got a phone call from Scott. "Listen, these fires have broke out at this spot and this spot. You need to move. You need to move, Janine." "Hey, we're past it already. We're good. We're good. We've already been through there. Was there smoke? Not a lick. We beat the smoke. Hallelujah. And everywhere we went, we just kept praying and we kept trusting the Lord. We kept declaring, this is going to be, this is going to be, this is going to be. Because we had a commission. You and I as believers, we have a commission. It's not a small commission. It's not a powerless commission. It's a commission filled with authority and power. He gave us his authority and power to accompany this commission so that when we went out, we weren't going out to face the enemy powerless or weaponless, but we were going out to face the enemy in authority and in power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are people of authority and we are people of power. Hallelujah. But sometimes I think we're too afraid. Hallelujah. There are 10 things that fear causes. Fear causes us to reduce the size of God and to elevate the size of the problem. Fear causes us to lead people in the wrong direction. Remember when the Israelites wanted to go back to Egypt? After God had delivered them from Egypt, they got afraid and they wanted to go back to Egypt. Hallelujah. Bless their hearts. Fear causes us to be quiet when we should speak up. Praise the Lord. Fear causes us to be passive or accepting of an issue as opposed to taking it to the Lord in prayer. Fear causes us to seek consensus, to find others that might give us the answer we want to hear instead of seeking the Lord and obeying his voice. Fear causes us to not engage. Fear causes us to disconnect and to neglect those around us. Fear causes us to refuse to embrace change because we care more about being comfortable than being conformed into the image of Jesus. I don't know about you guys, but some of these things really hit my heart hard. Fear causes us to want to control and manipulate things, to take matters into our own hands, rather than trusting the Lord and trusting others. When control is the world's biggest illusion. Fear causes us to hide our sin and shame when God's word is clear that we should ask for help and confess our sins. Fear causes us to seek the easy decision and the easy way out rather than seeking the right one. Hallelujah. But there are 7 ways we can overcome fear. Because we were called to be overcomers, praise the Lord. We were called to live in victory and not defeat. Because Jesus defeated the enemy. 1, we can realize that God is always with us, even to the end of the age. In Deuteronomy 31:6, the word says, be strong and have good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of the enemy, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes before you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. 2, trust in God. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Sometimes we trust our own opinion way too much. Sometimes we lean on our own opinion way too much. Hallelujah. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. 3, it says, seek the peace of God. Be of good peace. Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Be of good peace. Ephesians 2:14 says, for he himself is our peace. 4, be filled with love. It says, Ephesians 3:19 says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When we press in and we seek the Lord to know the fullness of Him and to be filled with the fullness of His love, it changes our life. It was life-changing for me when God gave me a revelation of His love for me. It changed who I was, how I saw the world, how I saw people. You know, before the Lord sent us to Mexico, before I had this encounter with the Lord, for me, women were the worst thing that could happen to me, to be put in a room with women. I've said this before, that women were just like pit bulls in lipstick, ready to tear you apart. But when the Lord gave me a revelation of His love, it changed who I was. It rocked my world. It took all fear of women away from me. And I could freely and openly love God's daughters. Hallelujah. We need to fear God more than we fear the enemy. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." When we fear God more than the enemy, something will rise in us stronger. Hallelujah. When our biggest fear is disappointing the Lord or not fulfilling what He's called us to do, and that becomes our greater fear, it empowers us in greater faith and strength to move forward in what God's called us to. Number 6, be strong and of good courage. Joshua 1:9 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Number 7 says, seek God, pray, and read the Word. Know the Word. Know His Word. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. One way to seek His face is to know the Word of God. You know, the enemy can't lie to you when you know the Word of God, because you know when he's lying or when he's twisting it. When you know the Word of God, the enemy can't fool you. He can't push you. He can't bully you. When you stand on the Word of God and you stand in His authority and in His power, the enemy can't bully you. And some of us have let the enemy bully us for way too long. It is time to come against the enemy. It is time to shake off the enemy. Paul understood what it was to be bullied, what it was to be stabbed in the back, or what it was to be betrayed, or what it was to be attacked or hated, for the change that took place in him, for his encounter with Jesus. He understood all of those things. He walked through those things just as Jesus before him walked in those things. But when Paul had his encounter with Jesus Christ and he got his commissioning, his whole world changed. Our world needs to change because of our commission. Because we have been commissioned. We have been given a job to do. And we have not been given the job with no power or authority to do it. Have you ever tried to do a job you had no authority or power to do? I have. And it's like pushing an apple cart uphill. It's just impossible. And you watch the apples start tumbling out of the cart and rolling back down the hill. But when we stand on the Word of God and we stand in the authority that Jesus gave to us, whoo, hallelujah, the way just opens. The way opens. We start taking the enemy and shaking it off. Shaking it off. We start standing in that authority and we will see things change. We will see things in our lives change. We will see things in our families change. We will see relationships restored and changed when we stand and we walk in the authority. We will see the things that Jesus did. We will be doing the things that Jesus did, and we will see a harvest of souls like we have never seen before. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. You have been commissioned. And it's up to you what you do with that commission. You are the only one that can walk in your commission. My authority is for me, for my walk, for my purpose that God has laid before me. I can't walk yours. I can't live yours. You have to live yours. You have to walk in yours. Hallelujah. And there is nothing we can't do with Jesus. There is no hill, there is no mountain that is too high, praise the Lord. There is no obstacle that can bring Jesus low. Jesus has already won the battle for us. We already know how this turns out. We already know where we're going to end up in the kingdom of heaven. Woo-hoo! We are ending up where Jesus is. This is just walking it out. But we're already victorious because Jesus was victorious. Shake it off. Shake it off and let the testimony begin to pour out. Shake it off and let the word get out. Shake it off and see where the Lord is going to take you. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let us be of good cheer, be of good courage, and be of good peace, praise the Lord. Because Jesus is with us. He has commissioned us to do a job. And I think we can do it to greater measure. I think we can do it in a way that impacts the world around us like it never has before. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight and watching. I want to thank you for your part in this and for being here, even watching it on the I don't know where you're watching it at, but wherever you're watching it at, thank you. I want to say God bless you. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, oh, just right where you're at in your own room, wherever you're at, just lift up your voice and say, Jesus, Son of God, I need a Savior. Save me. Wash away my sins. Make me yours. I believe you are the Son of God and you died for my sins and have risen from the dead. And I want to serve you. Take me, I'm yours, and use my life for your glory. And he is faithful to hear that prayer. Hallelujah. He is faithful to meet you when you cry out to him. And I just want to say, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in.